Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I mean, where do you go to get
fake
news
sites?
I go to fake news sites.
Ask for he Googles funny fake news.
Actually, I believe in that particular story, I got that directly from you, Gary.
Well, that's where I got it.
Speaking of yesterday's show, I got to tell you, I laughed out loud. I was at Safeway shopping for dinner and laughed out loud when you corrected Chris on kibitzing.
Oh, kibitzing. Yeah, not kibitzing. Yeah, you got to get that right. It's very important.
I'm in Safeway in line going, oi.
Like even I knew that.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then, plausibly live from Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, a block inside the district line. We've got Gary Braun, we've got Gene McManus, we've got Michael Kornheiser. Nigel is going to run the board. The great Jack Vardaman is sitting with us today.
A great one.
We're very happy about that. We've got a pretty good breakfast crowd. And I should say, thank you for coming in, everybody.
Yes, thank you to the breakfast crowd.
We want to build breakfast crowds whenever we can. And we open the doors at about 5 to 8. Like, a couple of people were turned away today, and I was, no, you can't turn them away. No, go out there. Let them in. Let them in. But we will not be here Friday. I'm going to Binghamton. Michael and I and Liz, we're going to go up to Binghamton. That will culminate with me getting a Doctor of Letters,
wow,
which is absurd.
Are you going to be impossible after that happens?
Am I impossible now?
Yes.
Going to Binghamton, a putz, coming home a doctor.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that drive home.
No, I mean, it's going to be fine.
You think he's a backseat driver
now? I don't
now.
Have a
Wait
beginning.
A doctor of letters.
I don't have a beginning. I have a new beginning that I've thought of, and you tell me if you like this new beginning.
Okay.
Because everybody said don't point out right away that you could die while you're making the speech.
That was good advice.
Well, I still think that's funny. I actually think that's funny. But I just thought I would begin by saying, you know, it's very hard to know how to begin these things. Everybody says to open with a joke, but if the joke bombs, it's just no good. So let me say I'm supposed to speak for 5 minutes. I'm going to go 10. I'd advise all you kids out there, if you need to go to the bathroom, go now. I think that'd be funny.
Yeah, that's good.
That's not
offensive.
Right, and then go into, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm so old, I could die.
Why don't you say
that's good for you because
10.
It'll clear the hole.
You why don't can you leave say early. I'm going to go 10, and I've backloaded all the good material. So if you have to go to the bathroom, go now.
I don't know. I
just don't think that's a strong opening.
Well, what give me an opening?
Editor,
I'm running out of days.
Just go to what you've got at the end and pull that up to the top. That's what I used to tell you when
No, I can't. My ending is my ending. I can't.
Spoken word different than written word, though.
Isn't this fairness. The moment where you pull out the list of people that you hate and you just sort of bash everyone?
I didn't really want to do that. I didn't.
Like the, so how about this James Comey thing, huh?
I don't think
that'll...
And by the way, on the way home with Michael, will you guys stop at various hospitals just so you can consult with people?
Not that
I concur.
I'm going to bomb.
Just come and fake heal some people.
Do a tracheotomy on the way home?
Somebody get me a pen. Well, a Bic.
Adam Ferrara said that I should start with the notion that everybody eats Speedies up there. That's our one great dish in Binghamton, the marinated
thing
of lamb on a piece of thick, white Italian bread. And he said what I should say is that, you know, I haven't been back in a long time, but I just passed the last piece of Speedy that I ate about 30 years ago, because that'll lay in your colon for a long time. Do you like that? You laughed out loud. All right, then I'll do that.
He's a professional comedian.
I'll do that. That's Adam's life. People like that out there?
I think that's good. Yeah.
So I get this letter.
That's what they want to hear.
John Anthony comes in here yesterday, and I need to read this. It's very long. Please accept this late or early Hanukkah gift. A lot of good things have happened since I got these for you, but there is no excuse for my tardiness. At first, I was going to bring it to the station or the Palm. Then there was the Chad's announcement with the undisclosed, and I still procrastinated. So I finally got a minute and decided to actually put my thoughts into words. It helps to avoid that Aaron Sorkin moment. The golf balls are meant to be functional as well as humorous. It reminds me of what my father proclaims every time we're searching for a ball. That's why they sell them by the dozen. You may also be surprised by how many balls get returned to you. Michael, explain what the inscription on the Pro V says.
This golf ball says on the side, this belongs to, what is it? This belongs to Tony Kornheiser?
Please return to Tony
Kornheiser. Please return to Tony or Michael if lost.
Yeah. Michael's got his own, I've got mine. To say I'm a loyal little, this is John Anthony writing, is an understatement. I've been a fan since print days and would wonder where his column was on Sundays until I finally found it in the style section. It was so cool when I first saw him on George Michael's Redskin Report and Full Court Press and could finally put the face to the words. Not a real big shocker, but the voice got us. We would have to wait on Sunday mornings to see if he was going to be on the Sports Reporters with Dick Schaap, and remember being so disappointed when it was one of the Bills or Lupica. The A-team for us was Tony and Ryan and Albon, sometimes Wilbon, but mostly those three. And so he goes on and on and on. He's a local rules official. He had met Michael at a tournament a few years back in the tournaments and qualifiers you played in. Sometimes you played with a big straw hat. Did you play with a straw hat?
I did.
He remembered that.
You had a straw hat face, yeah. I remember.
Said he was always a gentleman and a pretty darn good player. And then he says, as a junior golfer at Manor, I caddied a lot. I had the pleasure of being the regular caddy for Jack Connor and a few member guest events. He was a great man like his son, John. John scared the hell out of me as a kid, and so did Scott Swanky. These are all touchstones in my life.
Not nearly as scary as their sister, Sarah.
Yeah,
you Sarah Connor?
Is that right?
Well, no, that's Terminator.
I went to high school with your pal, Stuart Plank, played golf with Steve Sands 20 years ago. We still correspond about the Caps and now about you. I went to Furman with Tom Jones. To top it all off, my fraternity big brother was none other than Mr. Pete Creedon. Oh, the tortures he put us through, and how about those numbered balls? If Pete buys 12 balls, he just writes in big red marker, 1 all the way through 12, and plays them in order until he loses them. So this is a fabulous, fabulous letter from John Anthony.
Cool.
I'm very, very happy.
Yeah.
Very and lovely. Very, very nice gifts. And now we can actually open the show, and it goes like this. Golden State crushes San Antonio. Crushes. San Antonio 6 out of 26 in the first quarter. They're down 72-42 at the half. Ugh. Golden State shoots 50 of 89. They shoot 18 of 37 for three. You cannot beat them like that. It's impossible to beat them. And Greg Popovich actually says, I think maybe we felt it. This is about Kawhi Leonard. I think maybe we felt it too much that Kawhi was gone. Greg Popovich, the day before, had gone through 20 minutes about how terrible it was that Kawhi Leonard was gone. People deconstructed the fact that Greg Popovich talked about this, the Zaza Pachulia call, to saying that he wasn't really talking to the media. He was trying to give his players a pep talk. Greg Popovich invoked Kawhi Leonard 10,000 times, and now he's saying, well, we really felt it more than I thought. Well, maybe if you hadn't talked about it so long, maybe you wouldn't have felt it that much.
And said he didn't think they believed they could win.
Well, and probably basically. Because right. He put it out there that it looked
that
like
they were dead.
Yeah, that they couldn't
from
win.
From minute two, so it looked like it.
Yeah, so you know, you get what you pay for. I mean, Warriors are hitting from the start. They win by 36 points. In the minutes that Kawhi Leonard has been out, declared out, they lost 58-33 in game one in those minutes. That's minus 25.
And that's in less than a half.
Right, less than a half. Now they've lost by 36, so that's, what is that? That's
you're asking
61
me?
Points in a game and a half. They're down minus 61 in a game and a half. So you say to yourself, well, they can't win. Well, they can win. If Kawhi Leonard comes back, and the games are in San Antonio, of course they can win, because with Kawhi Leonard, they were up by 25.
Right, but I'm going to say this about the Warriors. I think, like, Game 3, particularly with Leonard returning, if he were to return,
yeah,
you would the Spurs might even be a short favorite in that game, you would think.
Yes.
But I think this Warriors team, they get it. They understand how it's played. And I think they realize, like, okay, this game, this is the biggest game of the series. Because if we win this game, this is a 4, maybe 5-game series. If we lose it, you're looking at certainly 5, likely 6, and maybe even 7. So,
the
Warriors...
So you think it's a critical game for the Golden State Warriors?
I do. I mean, I think they're going to win this. I think they're locked to win the series. But I think they understand they appear ready to play. I mean, they just appear ready to play.
I watched only the first period, I'll confess.
Well, you didn't have to watch anymore.
Because they just looked like they were playing with San Antonio. I mean, it was almost like they were laughing among themselves at how far ahead of it they were. And I just thought, well, I watched the lottery because that was important.
Lottery's fun.
Me.
We'll talk about the lottery in a second.
The game was over at halftime at 72-42. It was over early in the second quarter, but... Even notwithstanding
that, unless Curry and Durant get hurt,
so the Warriors, largely resting and largely coasting, went for 34-30 in the third and fourth quarters.
Yeah, I mean, without their best players out there and not paying much.
I mean,
much
136. It could have been 150. It was an All-Star game.
By the way, Cleveland, as good as Cleveland is, and everybody remembers last year and Cleveland winning the last three games, Cleveland cannot beat this team if they shoot like that.
No,
they can't.
And Cleveland's been giving up points this playoffs.
Yeah, they can't beat. If Durant and Thompson and Curry, if they go 18 for 37 from three. You cannot beat them.
Nope.
You can't beat them. Like the lottery. Jeannie mentioned the lottery. I went on TV yesterday on the PTI show, and I said the lottery was going to be fixed, just like it was fixed for the Knicks with the frozen envelope, and just like it was fixed for Cleveland when they got LeBron. I said it would be fixed for Magic. because everybody's happy in the league that Magic is back in the league. And the Lakers were in this jeopardy. If the Lakers did not finish in the top three, not only would they lose their first draft pick this year, they'd lose it next year as well as part of the terrible – these are terrible trades. They traded for Steve Nash, who played 11 minutes. They traded for Dwight Howard, who just killed the team, kills every team he's ever on. So and they were underneath a rock on this if they fell out of the top three.
And just to
– And they rose up to two.
And just to remember what those trades looked like at the time. I mean, you were trying to squeeze out every ounce of juice from Kobe Bryant.
For Kobe Bryant. Win a championship for Kobe Bryant. So they had less than – the Lakers had less than a 40% chance of finishing in the top three. They finished second.
Guess what happened?
Boston Celtics finished first. If you go through the history, you don't think this was fixed? You go through the history of the league.
Of course it's fixed.
The league history is two teams. It's the Celtics and the Lakers, all the way back to the 1950s. The Celtics and the Lakers, even when the Lakers were in Minneapolis. Right. Celtics and the Lakers. They just went 1-2. They went 1-2. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think that there's a discernible prize player out there, because I don't know.
Well, the top but the Lakers two are pretty consensus, don't you think?
Markel Fultz from D.C., right. who he won two games in league this year.
I mean,
this
is how the NBA draft is.
He got a coach fired. I'm not sure that I would move heaven and earth for him. But I think the Lakers really want to get Lonzo Ball. I would trade up if I were the Lakers. I would trade up. But you look at the lottery, which is a very slow and hokey television show until it actually starts. Pulling envelopes, then it's the best.
It was quick.
It's the best show.
I mean, we went fast enough to confuse Joel Embiid, who had no idea what was going on.
He didn't see anything that said Sixers, so he didn't. He was cheering for the Kings.
I could not understand half of the contingencies, but I was like, okay, whatever. Just tell me how this all shakes out in the end.
It's always great when that first team comes up that is throwing things
for
the
first
leapfrog. Something's happened. The top three is different.
I wanted Adam Silver, who I know appeared on the telecast, or someone pretending to be Adam Silver. I wanted him to stick his head into the ping pong balls like Chessie and eat one.
Yeah, sure.
Say, that's the winner right
here. Right?
There's no question in your mind it was fixed.
Of course, I agree with you completely.
It's totally fair.
They need an ascendant team in the Eastern Conference. So Celtics filled that bill beautifully.
Yes.
They want the East Coast, West Coast.
They want
TV
the Lakers.
Market.
They don't want the Clippers.
Right.
They want the Lakers.
And the Celtics now, also with the Nets first round pick next year, would appear to be like an heir apparent to LeBron's Cavs.
The Celtics could be great.
Yeah.
The Lakers. I don't know about Lonzo Ball, but he's the right pick. He's the pick. If you're the commissioner, he's the pick you want. You want the dad out there every day.
Oh, my God.
You want that drama every single day.
God.
You want the kid, and you hope the kid's great. And we don't know. Again, the top six people, you don't know. This is not LeBron. LeBron walks into the league, and you know he's going to be an all-star for 15 years. You don't know about any of these people.
Right.
But in terms of interest for the league, Gary.
Yes. Celtics, I mean, you have said for years, I think accurately so, it's Celtics and Lakers.
It's what you want.
I think
Wilbon will tell you it's the Bulls. It's not the Bulls.
I think Walt Frazier should not wear that jacket again.
I can't imagine the last time he wore that jacket. That looked like a jacket from the 70s.
A disco jacket.
That was absurd.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
He doesn't even wear that when he's telling people just for men. He doesn't even do that.
Right. It was 1970s Drake.
There was some firepower out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
Magic Johnson, Walt Frazier, Alonzo Mourning. Mm-hmm. There were some people out there. Joel Embiid, the confused that appeared Joel Embiid.
Yes.
But very likable.
I would
totally agree.
Yeah, Kevin Cole's very well. I get it.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Very likable. The other kid, Booker, who had like 70 points in one game.
He was there.
The Phoenix kid.
Oh,
he took
was crushed.
He took a hit because they fell out.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they fell out. And so the Sixers get yet another top three pick, right?
Yes.
The Sixers
get the third.
Sixers get top three picks every single year. They draft them, they sit out for 3 years,
they
and then
they draft them
back.
And they break them.
Yeah.
Right.
But they missed out. I mean, if the Lakers had dropped into that fourth spot, I think that would have been – so Philly could have conceivably picked third and fourth in the draft.
No, now it doesn't matter because they pick a guy who gets hurt.
Well, that's true.
Every year.
Seriously.
No, I know. Every year.
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel suffered from malnutrition for 2 years and couldn't play. Joel Embiid went right out for 2 years.
Right.
Ben Simmons hasn't played a minute.
Well, they dealt, didn't they? did they deal Michael Carter Williams?
Who was rookie of the year for them. They got rid of him in an hour.
So as a public service to our local listeners, the Wizards, who were slotted with 22nd, don't have that pick. It goes to Brooklyn for...
Doesn't matter.
That was for Bogdanovich.
Doesn't matter.
So the Wizards' only pick is, I think, 50.
So let me repeat this again. Wrong. We are not 52. Here on Friday. You can come for breakfast, I believe, but there's no show on Friday. Right. There's a show tomorrow. Thursday.
Back Monday, 22nd.
Back Monday.
You got to go get your letters.
Dr. Kornheiser.
Yeah. Brian Windhorst, when we return, talk more about these things. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Nature Box read. What do you do when you want a snack, but all you can find is junk food? You rely on your self-control to resist the temptation, right? Please, you eat the junk food. Start snacking healthy with Nature Box. Nature Box makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you. Created with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. I this is not a Nature Box thing, but I often, when I eat things like goldfish, I say to people, it's not just that they're good for you, it's they taste good as well. Actually, they're not good for you. The Nature Box things are good for you.
It's protein.
Yeah, but it's not. Nature Box recently made their service even better because now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required, and you can cancel any time. And the things they send you actually are good for you, and they do taste good. I've had them. It's simple. You go to naturebox.com. You check out their snack catalog. There's over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're constantly adding delicious new snacks. Choose the snacks that you want. They will deliver them right to your door. With Nature Box, you will never get bored. There are new snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback. And if you ever try a snack you don't like, Nature Box will replace it for free. Maybe they could come up with a goldfish that actually was good for you.
Sure.
That would be good. And right now you save even more because Nature Box is offering fans of this particular podcast 50% off the first order when you go to naturebox.com/TonyK. NATUREBOX. naturebox.com/TonyK for 50% off your order. And one more time, naturebox.com/TonyK.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The name of the song is So Long Forevermore. The name of the person who is singing it is Nick Rolg. He says, I sent you songs in the hopes of being heard on your incredible podcast. I'm Nick Rolg, a 24-year-old singer-songwriter who recorded everything myself on an 8-track. How do you do that? You just like...
I think you go back in time.
Yeah, I didn't think 8-tracks were being done anymore. Yeah.
Right. I think it was.
I thought I was the only one who knew anything about 8-tracks.
But it's quite lovely.
Yeah. So there are people at the door, and we can't let them in, so they go away. We should let people in at the door. Yeah. We're close to 8 o'clock. We shouldn't be turning people away.
Right.
Brian Windhorst joins us now. Brian's book, the King James book. Give us, just plug the book right now, and then we'll go into other things. Plug the book.
It's the greatest book ever written about an NBA basketball player.
Great. I knew it. That makes me so happy to know. What is the name of it?
It is called... This is the greatest book that you've ever written. It's called Return of the King.
Return of the King. Okay.
Not to be confused with the Lord of the Rings book, but, you know, if you want to confuse it, that's fine.
And all of that is fine, as far as I'm concerned. The Lord of the Rings, I didn't see any of those movies. I mean, I just couldn't
bring myself. I saw those movies.
I couldn't bring myself to see any
full
of
them. Trilogy, yes.
Yeah, I didn't see them. All right, so let's start. Before we start with the games, I said yesterday on the television show that the lottery had been fixed twice. And only twice, to my knowledge. Well, Jeannie thinks it's three times. I said twice. It was fixed for the Knicks to get Patrick Ewing. It was fixed for Cleveland to get LeBron James.
It was fixed for the Wizards to get
John Wall. You think it was fixed?
It was the year after Abe had died.
Okay.
So, and the widow Poland went to the lottery.
So maybe that's true.
Yes.
And I said it would be fixed again for Magic Johnson. My exact words were, Magic didn't come 3,000 miles to lay up. And in fact, Brian, he moved up. He moved up. So who won the lottery? Who lost the lottery? And what do you think overall in terms of... Because to me, you can throw a blanket over 5 or 6 guys. I don't know that there's a definitive number one. What do you think of all of those things?
Well, the Lakers were the big winner because had they not stayed in the top three, they get nothing. They lose their pick.
Right.
It's not like, well, we'd rather draft 2 than 4. No. If you're 4, you don't get any player. So Lakers are the big winner. Obviously, the Celtics, a great moment for them. The trade is one of the greatest trades in NBA history. It's getting better by the year.
Yes.
But they have 20. I mean, this is the third year in a row that the team with the number one chance has won. That's the first time that's happened in a really long. I don't know if it's ever happened. So the percentages kind of played out. So the one surprise was the team who was eighth, which was the Kings, jumped to third, but they had already traded away the swap rights for that pick.
That's right.
But what's so remarkable to me is in April, and this is easy to miss if you were watching. You know, the Lakers were doing a pretty elaborate tank job, one of the grandest tank jobs you've ever seen, where they actually had their two highest paid players, Lou Aldang and Timo Mozgov. They just said, "You're not playing anymore." Like they didn't even really say there was an injury. They just basically said, "We're tanking."
Yeah,
and
they still kept winning at the end.
They went on this 5-game win streak in April that was just insane. I mean, they were playing Meta World Peace because they were trying to lose, and he was helping them win. And that 5-game win streak knocked them from the second worst record to the third worst record and really cost them about 10 percentage points.
Yes.
And this is, I guess you could say it's just basketball karma or whatever. Had they not gone on that winning streak and they'd been given the number two spot, the numbers that came up would have knocked them to fourth. That's where the Suns ended up getting knocked to, and they would have lost their pick. That 5-game win streak they had in April, which everybody in the league was slapping their forehead on, saved them and saved their pick and probably saved the short-term success of the franchise.
That's very odd. That's because I remember Wilbon and I talking about that. Why are they winning? By the way, Brian, if I'm the Lakers right now, I trade up. I want Lonzo Ball. I give Boston. I can't be assured that Boston will not take him. And if I'm Boston, I dangle out the possibility that I'm going to take him. If I'm the Lakers, I trade up and I just make sure and I get him. Would you do that?
Well, Danny Ainge is going to play this game. We already instantly saw last night. He goes, "Well, we don't know who we're going to take. We don't know who we're going to take." And I expect them to play the game all the way down to the end. And, we have to assume that the Lakers actually want Lonzo Ball. I mean, I know their fan base wants him.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, I got to say something about LeVar Ball here. Ramona Shelburne, my colleague at ESPN, wrote a profile in ESPN the magazine about him. And one of the things he said in his profile was, I just speak things into being true. Because so much of the stuff he said has been so ridiculous, but a lot of the stuff he said comes true. And he's saying, my son's going to play for the Lakers. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to just speak it into being true. Well, guess what? I think there's a pretty good chance he's going to speak that into being true. And one way or another, Lonzo Ball's going to be a Laker in June.
What did you think of the collection of people yesterday, including Magic Johnson and Walt Frazier, Alonzo Mourning? What did you think of that, all those people who were there picking for their teams?
Well, it's always, to me, the lottery is one of the most enjoyable events of the year.
I agree. Better than the draft.
It's 15 of the most exciting minutes, and it's rapid fire, and the league is getting better at its presentation. But a couple of years ago, they eliminated like non-team affiliated people. Like you remember Dan Gilbert,
his kid, son. Yeah.
And a few years ago, the new Bucks owners caused quite a reaction when he sent his daughter, who could have been a model.
Yeah.
But they've kind of knocked that out. They said you really have to either be a team employee or an owner to come. And so, Walt is the Knicks broadcaster. So they've kind of narrowed it down. They've kind of taken the fun out of it. But I think it's, what Joel Embiid did last night, and he shows up with a Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, I love the pageantry of it. I think it's sensational. I also like that they don't draw it out. I'm sure they've been tempted to to draw it out. I mean, once they, I mean, I know they go through the whole rigmarole, but once they start going, they just go.
No, it's really good.
It's not bad.
I like that no one explained to Embiid how it works. Did you see how confused he was when they started pulling the Kings cards?
Yeah, Embiid was just happy.
That was tremendous.
Just happy to be there. It was really good. All right, let me get to a couple of games. In fact, before we get to the game, let's start with, I think, the question uppermost in everybody's mind, certainly because Greg Popovich has made a federal case about this, invoking manslaughter with Zaza Pachulia.
That was amazing.
It's just so
amazing.
Out of bounds to talk about manslaughter and talk about people dying in car accidents and going to jail and say, and in the context of Zaza Pachulia. Did you think that was a dirty play?
If I was on a jury, I couldn't vote to convict. If you felt really strongly that it was dirty, I wouldn't like tell you you're out of your mind. I don't feel strong enough, but I couldn't convict him of it. As long as we're talking about legitimate charges, I will say this: Pop going off like that certainly took the focus off the fact that the Spurs peed down their legs in the last 12 minutes of that game.
They certainly did,
and couldn't get the ball inside the 3-point line for 4 or 5 possessions at a time. You don't have Kawhi Leonard. Does that mean you have to get outscored by 25 points? I mean, how about acting like a professional team? So, I understand what he's saying, and that's it's unfortunate. That's life. But there were some other things at play, the cost in that game. And now going forward, we'll see what happens. But injuries are a part of the game, unfortunately.
I'm glad you said that about the Spurs, because I was agape at Wilbon when we're doing the show. And he says, from that point on, from when Leonard went out, it was inevitable that they were going to lose that game. And I said, Mike, they're a professional team. They're up by over 20 points in the third quarter of that game. They're a playoff veteran team with a great coach. They collapsed, and it was awful, and they should have won the game. And he said, no, you're wrong. They couldn't have won the game, and they shouldn't have won the game. What do you think?
I think at the outset they'd be in big trouble. I'm not, saying that they could possibly – I don't think they have a good chance to win a game without him from the start. But they, as you said, they're up 25.
Yeah, they're up.
That was a pretty big failure by the team to not hold on to that game. And by the way, they lost by everything that happened. They lost by 2. Imagine if they just made 3 plays. They make 3 plays, they win.
They win the game. And in fact, when Golden State went ahead,
nobody's talking about that.
Well, when Golden State went ahead late in the game, they came back and went ahead of Golden State, and they should have won. They should have won that game. At this point, the series looks dreadful for San Antonio, but if Kawhi Leonard comes back and he's healthy, why can't they win 3 and 4 down there? Why can't they?
In the game, they played 3 times during the regular season, and I know that Kerr tanked one of the games. But in the 2 times that they play with their full lineup, plus game 1 until Kawhi got hurt, San Antonio was a better team.
But that was with Tony Parker.
Tony Parker, he's not Kawhi Leonard.
Diminishing, yeah.
I don't think San Antonio can win the series, but I certainly think they can win games. Whereas I'm not sure Boston can win any games against Cleveland. What about you?
Well, tonight, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen tonight. I mean, the Cavs have been off for 10 days. They had to travel. Boston's on a run. The Cavs are going to be rusty tonight. I don't care what anybody says. And I don't think the Cavs will be affected at all by playing on the road in this series, but the Celtics role players play much better at home. So, Kelly Olynyk has the game of his life the other night. He doesn't have that if he's playing in Cleveland or Washington, I don't think. They the last game they won before that, Avery Bradley had a 25-point half. I can't see the future. I don't think he's having a 25-point half in Cleveland. And it's so important for the Celtics role players to do that, because these teams are just camping down on Isaiah Thomas, which is the way to go. I mean, I know that the Wizards, it's extremely disappointing the way they finished, but they accomplished what their game plan was, which is we're not letting Isaiah Thomas beat us. And they didn't. They got beat by Kelly Olynyk. So I think if the Cavs are going to be vulnerable, it's tonight, when I expect them to be rusty, and I expect Boston. They played every other day for a couple of weeks now while the Cavs have been resting.
Wouldn't you, I mean, if there was such a thing as a living, breathing commissioner, shouldn't he just step in right now and say, everybody in America wants to see Golden State and Cleveland,
so we're declaring... I saw him last night. He is alive.
Like an intentional walk?
Yes, we're declaring the finals to begin now with those teams. Wouldn't you do that? I would do that.
Well, I would like, you know, I like these games. I mean, now last night...
Yeah, and it's not much of a
game. Yeah, I like because these games matter in the long run. You just get afraid of injuries, you know, and Iguodala is now out, and Zaza Pachulia got hurt last night. I don't know how serious that injury is. You know, the game was established by the time they took him out. And the Cavs are, you know, the Cavs can't afford really any injuries to their team. So you just hope that, you know, what happens in this could be the beginning of a rivalry. The way the Celtics are built and what they're adding to their team, this could be a new Celtics-LeBron rivalry, and this could end up being a really important series to develop that. But I'd like to have that and not have players get hurt. That's the deal I'd like to make.
I agree with that. Thank you, Brian. Are you going to be on PTI later, right? Am I told correctly you're going to be on PTI?
Yes. Good.
So I'll see you on the big screen.
I'm planning on it.
Yeah. All right. See you later.
That sounds good.
Brian Windhorst, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back. Nigel will do the news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Whether football, basketball, or baseball is your sport of choice, you know that the key to winning is a strong roster. And great coaches know that having the right players comes from scouting in all the right places. Finding great talent for your business isn't any different. You can't find all the best candidates by posting your job on just one site. You need to post on all the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter. At ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your position. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. There's no juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. And right now, listeners to this podcast can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Will Salisbury, who has a degree in English. I'm partial to that. From the University of Missouri in 2004. Lives in St. Louis, and he says, first in the NL Central, first in crime. Attached is a sweet, romantic, tear-jerking number for you called Dead, Drunk, and Pretty. It's basically about a New Orleans nightmare. Junior wasn't there, however. This one is perfect for the chatter jukebox. Regards and utmost sincerity from Will Salisbury.
Isn't that lovely?
Michael, if people want to send us music, how do they do it?
They can email jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
And everybody today, including the great Jack Vardaman, is wearing Johnny O today.
Neither am I.
Everybody, meaning Michael and me and Jack.
Those that matter.
I'm actually not today.
Although I am sporting a Tony.
Jack and I are. So if people want to get... There's a special code, right?
The Tony K code is still living, and you can find that on our Twitter page.
Go to our Twitter page.
Or at the show website, TonyKornheiserShow.com. And we are still working on that... eye-catching, very memorable Father's Day promo code.
We're going to do that.
All the promo codes available at the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, most of them are.
Website, right?
I would say probably 3/4.
All right, lion's share.
So as we give, when people come in here for breakfast, if we have stuff laying around that would normally be in the prize closet, we tend to give it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's pudding mix.
Sometimes it is pudding mix. And ties and
books,
and
speedy sauce.
Your speedy sauce went
CDs
out today. But at CDs from the window panes,
yes,
right?
Poly coconuts.
Yeah, so that's fabulous. But today we're getting stuff. Chris Spiro, who's the VP of Operations and a member of the Board of Directors of the DC Grays, who gives us clothes all the time that Gary in particular loves.
I love my They're DC great. Grays wear.
I love them as well. I wear them all the time.
So Chris
sporty
writes,
athletic wear.
Today's visit to Chatter marks the sixth year of tribute to Mr. Tony and the gang from the DC Grays of the Cal Ripken Collegiate Baseball League. I hope the gear will be more welcome than an appearance by any member of the Nats bullpen. Certainly Blake Treinen. Although, as we will find out later in the show, Blake Treinen was good last night. The Grays are the only D.C.-based team in the 10-team Ripken League, which, like the Cape Cod League and others, is a summer wood bat league for college players. None of the aluminum stuff. Wooden bats. We're one of the few teams in the major summer collegiate baseball that recruit extensively from historically black colleges and universities, because the Grays, the D.C. Grays, are named in honor of the Homestead Grays.
That's right.
The
right.
Homestead
Absolutely.
Grays, who were the original Negro team. League, yeah. The Grays play their home games at Washington National's Youth Academy, at Eli Place Southeast near Fort DuPont Park and adjacent to the Fort DuPont Ice Arena, where Michael went often as a child until Craig Laughlin broke his heart and said he's not going to be in the NHL.
Turned me off of hockey, actually.
Absolutely. We don't talk about Craig anymore. Our website with the roster and game schedule is dcgrays.com, and admission to the home games is always free, as is the parking. We're proud to be the official sponsor of the Washington RBI Revolving Baseball and Inner Cities Tournament Program, as well as of our work to help the middle school baseball team at Sousa Middle School. And as in the past, I get an exclusive box of junk. So
awesome.
That makes me
yes.
happy.
Central box.
Send me a box of that. So thank you to Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes, and Chris will know this because he invited me out there to throw out a first pitch one time, which I
Brutal.
Did. I was great.
Mound? Did he get up on? Did he climb the mound, Chris?
I was on the mound.
So how many bounces?
It just one.
Were you tucked or untucked?
Yes,
Wilbon was tucked.
Wilbon was tucked.
I didn't have a jersey on. I think he just had like a t-shirt or something like that. I looked great in the warm-ups. People went on the side. They were like, he looks like Louis Tion.
He's starting
and
tonight?
And I got up there and
wound up.
The problem was, I don't think any of the players were actually, you know, they're like, what is this guy doing up there?
Yeah,
who
is this guy?
Is the old man off the field.
So, but I believe there's an invitation extended to Michael, who's a much better athlete than I would ever be.
Oh.
So, Michael
can make a first pitch.
Yeah, you can make a first
pitch. I will
pitch.
Do his first pitch if Tony is the catcher.
Dr. Tony?
I'm a better pitcher than catcher. There's zero chance I could catch the ball, and I would probably get hit with it, but I could pitch it better than I could catch it. I always could do that. You have news for us?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony, and this newscast is brought to us by Meldonium. It's not a country. It's not radioactive. It tastes great. Try it with the latkes.
I would take Meldonium any chance I got.
If we knew what it actually was. And I will get back to Meldonium in just a bit.
Yeah, because Sharapova's in the news.
Yes, yeah. I want to start off with your president.
Major consumer of Meldonium.
Maria so. Sharapova. Former. We don't know if she still does.
Oh, no, I didn't know. No, I didn't know. No,
can't take that.
No idea.
Yes. Okay. Some more trouble for your President Trump. This coming in the form of a conversation and then a memo with former FBI Director James Comey. Apparently, after a national security meeting, Trump said, "Hey, I need to speak with you after this. Everyone else can leave. I need to talk to Jim." And then he said to him, "Well, I hope you can." And I'm loosely quoting.
According to the notes that have been leaked in support of Mr. Comey.
Somebody who's close to Comey apparently read these notes.
Well, Comey gave them to him.
Or gave them
That's
to him.
That's how that works.
Probably, I guess that is how that works. But apparently
when
Trump...
When things are leaked, we...
said, here, take
the
this,
person who benefits the most is the person that does the leaking.
And Comey was fired last week, wasn't he?
I believe he was.
Odd that this would come
Not only
now.
Was he fired, but he was referred to in bad terms by the president on the
way. Grandstander.
Showboater and grandstander.
And done very poorly. Like, he was giving a speech... And the TVs behind him showed the news that he was being fired.
I thought he was being punked.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. So Trump apparently said...
Reason to be angry.
I hope you can let this go. Now, other reports that he handed him a couple of $100 and said, keep it fair. We don't know if that's true.
Call it both ways, Blue.
Yeah. So this obviously raises the specter of, was there obstruction of justice? Was he... this is talking about the investigation for... former National Security Advisor, not Matt Flynn, somebody Flynn.
Larry Flynn.
Larry Flynn.
Michael
Flynn. Michael Flynn.
Yeah.
Michael Flynn. Look, so this is, you have the Comey thing, and then you have the inadvertent, perhaps, or advertent leaking of what appears to be very sensitive information to any Russian who was in D.C., including Alexander Ovechkin.
And then you have whatever's happened between the 2 hours that we're talking about this and it actually airs.
So
this will be that thing.
I think that everybody gets to a point where they recognize that he just doesn't understand anything to do with, say, separation of powers. He doesn't understand the process. He thinks to himself, wait, I won. I'm the president. I can do what I want.
I'm
because he's run companies where he said, I can do what I want. Do I have to pay some guy over here, pay some guy? Fine, that's the cost of doing business, fine. But that's, I think, how he approaches being the president.
Absolutely.
No, wait just a minute. if I went back into the kitchen to scramble some eggs as opposed to sitting here on a podcast, do you think I would understand the difference between being a short order cook and being a member of your podcast?
Yes, I think
How
I
hard
think you would.
Is
I think you
that
would. I think
to
you
make would. That no. distinction?
No.
How hard is it to realize one day you're a real estate magnate and the next day you're president of the United States?
That's the hardest thing to realize in the world. He cannot possibly. You heard him a month ago where he said,
baseball.
Hey, I'm the president. Whoever thought that was going to happen?
How am I doing? All right.
Shouldn't he have somebody in the room with him at all times? And as he's about to say something, you should look over
to him. Tase him?
Can I do this? Well, can I say this? No, sir.
No. What should happen is this. No one should tell him anything. No, he should
keep
not.
Him in the
he
dark.
Should
well,
not have.
Not
he should not have
stuff.
The information.
Right. Well,
anything of
then
a sensitive
who would make
nature.
The decisions for
he shouldn't
him.
Have that. But the phrase "bull in a china shop." Oh, yeah. He's just everything's crashing all the time. That's what he's doing. And but he, I, again, and I guess Gene and I disagree on this. I just think he figures I won. I can do it. I can do it. I can do what I want to do.
He's lived in the United States his whole life. How many presidents has he been witness to? How many times has he thought, there's a difference between running a real estate company and being a president?
I think he wants to bring them a little closer together.
The obstruction thing, though, would be a very tough proof because at best, this could just be, hey, look,
he's a good guy.
My boy. Yeah, I hope you can let this go, which it's conceivable.
That's what I'm saying.
But at worst, it's he knows that looking into Flynn is going to put them on a trail that may lead them to something that he's responsible for. But you would have to know his intent and his level of involvement to do
now,
that.
It's apparently, and I don't know if you're aware of this, the Russians, Putin, has said that they will release the transcripts of whatever was discussed in that meeting where apparently highly classified information was released.
So the Russians have had a data scrum.
Yeah, we'll tell you exactly what happened. Now, Gary and I...
What would that read like, do you think?
Boy, the Capitals really have a great chance to win series. Also, weather is fantastic this time of year.
No.
You have that.
Yeah. Okay,
have
what that. Else? What other news?
Let's get to Maria Sharapova.
No, she's gone.
She will not be playing in the French Open. In a live Facebook announcement, French Tennis Federation President Bernard... something or other, said, I decided not to give Maria...
Giudicelli. It's something like Giudicelli.
Giudicelli, sure. Yeah. We'll go with that. Decided not to give Maria Sharapova a wild card. I'm very sorry for Maria. Very sorry for a fan. They might be disappointed. She might be very disappointed, but it's my responsibility. It's my mission to protect the game and protect the high standards of the game.
What he said was, you can come back as a wild card from injury, but you're not coming back from doping. Not on my watch. You're not going to do that. And that's fine. That's a lovely stand to take, and I'm sure a lot of players agree with it. But if I was in charge of selling seats or selling a television deal, and I've already lost Serena Williams because she's pregnant, and now I'm losing the number two player in the world, and you can't even name the number three player in the world. You can't. Nobody can. If you go through the top 10 in women's tennis, four or five of them go, ooh, I'm not familiar with her work.
Kerber, maybe?
I don't know if that's such a great idea. But it's a good stand. I mean, he's out there.
And as you said before, and I believe you said on PTI last night, that while they may not have come out and said this, but probably a lot of players behind the
scenes. They don't
want
her in there because they can lose to her.
They could lose to her.
She's won this twice.
Yes, exactly.
She is with Serena out, she's the only woman tennis player to have the career Grand Slam. She's won five. I don't think there's anybody else other than Serena. Well, Venus. But Venus is no longer the threat that she wants.
Well, it's also important if you want to present your sport as clean.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not doing this.
Right.
We don't do that here.
Well, obviously, bicycling never felt that
and
way.
And she's won the French twice, including most recently in 2014.
Yeah, so what else?
That's a big book. By the way, I forgot to mention this as we were talking about Trump. There is a website with betting odds. They have a lot of sporting events, but they also have stuff about Trump.
Impeachment.
Impeachment odds. What year will he be impeached? 17, 18, 19, or 20? 3-1 in 2017. Goes up to 6-1 in 2018. 16-1 for the following year.
I think.
And 20-1 for 2020.
Yeah, I think if he makes it through this year,
the odds would say as much.
This is sort of like Cleveland has to win tonight because they're rusty. But if they win tonight, they're probably good.
If he can get through the eighth,
will he be impeached for? These are your options: treason, that's 10-3 odds; tax evasion, 4-1; perjury, 7-1; my personal favorite, bribery, 10-1.
obstruction he's of not, justice not on the board.
He's not on the board.
No, but it's new.
Maybe fall
into we got time.
That's right. We can update that
list.
What
else you got?
Some happy news for one of the people that we all love on this show. David Letterman will be coming to town.
Yes.
70-year-old will be the recipient for the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. It was just announced yesterday.
I really
and it will be
want to go to this.
Okay, so Jeannie wants to go to
I
this.
I love David Letterman.
Right.
He is my favorite.
He's the best.
He's a genius. David Letterman's a genius.
I came up to you at that party, right?
Loves PTI. Loves
he's
PTI.
He's the best.
Wants to watches it every night. Wants to talk about it in great depth.
Genius, the guy like Norman Einstein.
That Norman Einstein and David. I think David Letterman. So how do we get tickets for Jeannie? How do we do this?
I'm happy.
Who's
to,
our guy that
I'm
we know? We know
Howard has a hookup over
Howard's
there.
Howard's got
I
a hookup, but who's the PR guy?
We know the PR guy.
Matt Weiner, is that his name?
Yes, yeah. That's right. Yes.
So can he get Jeannie a ticket or two?
I will
pay. Matt, you're on the clock.
I will pay, Matt.
Stop. You don't have to pay.
No, I don't want to troll for free stuff, but I really, really, because you know who's going to be there. Bill Murray's going to be there, of course.
Of course.
And the other people who will be there.
Everybody will be there. They'll all be there, and the tribute will be great.
Julia Roberts will be there.
So you should go.
Yeah, okay.
You should go.
Absolutely.
So let's see if somebody can make that happen.
Sure.
Let's see if somebody can make
that happen.
What else? We have anything else?
Just a small story, and this seemed like it was the perfect crime. This is from Plaistow, New Hampshire. A man wanted to...
Half the time that we do this, so we talk about these sorts of stories, we find out within 24 hours... that it's not true, like the guy who allegedly drank 20 gallons of cooking oil.
We're still investigating that.
Yeah, it just sounded idiotic.
And the IT.
2 gallons would
kill him. Actually, someone tweeted to me on that cooking oil story that there's apparently like a black market for these used...
Oh, yes. No, that's actually true.
Yeah, for like these used oils. So maybe he had claimed to have drunk it.
People will go behind restaurants and steal it and then resell it for massive profit.
But they're not trying to sell it to drink it.
Well, no.
No, correct.
No.
But maybe he said that he
drank it. Is it an ingredient in meth or something like that?
No, I think other restaurants.
I forget what the usage is. I'll find it.
I think other restaurants.
No, it was like an alternative fuel.
Yeah, it had some like practical use.
Or to mix bombs out of it.
But who cares if it's
fake? Generator on it.
Are you not entertained?
This story comes from the New York Post.
Oh,
so you
well. Well, if they printed it,
what's
must
their
be
motto
true.
Again, Tony?
We occasionally print in English.
Yes. I thought it was we sometimes print the truth. No. Maybe they changed it.
Bernardo Calana of Haverhill, Massachusetts, thought he had the perfect idea to commit a crime. He wanted some air conditioning units, and he didn't have the money for them, so he drove up to New Hampshire, went to a Home Depot. What did he do? He put on a Home Depot orange apron.
Good. Smart.
And then just started taking... Workerman outfit. Was taking him out, put him into his car, until the manager noticed that his apron said Shannon on it.
Yeah.
And had flowers drawn on it. And he said, we don't have a Shannon that works here. You don't look like a Shannon. Called police. They came and confronted Kalana, who somehow, unbelievably, was still at the scene of the crime. He said, I don't know anything about air conditioning units. And then they pulled the apron out of his back pocket, and they said, can we see your car? And so now he is in jail.
And that's a true story. That has the ring of truth.
It does.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah,
good there job out of you.
It's boring enough to be
we
true.
We can verify that with Home Depot Dan out in Rehoboth.
We can go out there and talk to him. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with Old Guy Radio. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. Indochino makes made-to-measure suits. Nigel has these suits.
I do.
Go.
I love these suits. They fit me like a glove. They're the best suits I've ever owned. They're very inexpensive. And once you figure out how to measure yourself, which
was that's the hard part.
Was challenging for me. What I would recommend is go
that's
to a
tailor.
That's
the hard part. He was using a protractor at one point.
It was a protractor, a piece of rope, and a yardstick.
Yeah.
And it still came out perfectly. I bought several suits from them. I love them. They're absolutely the best. I look great in them.
Indochino is making it easy to get a perfectly tailored suit.
I do.
At an incredible like price. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics and personalize your suit just the way you want it, whether it's for work, a wedding, or another special occasion. Michael's wedding suit, that's not Indochino. You're wearing that suit occasionally. That really set me back a bunch.
I'm glad you still remember my wedding.
That was a beautiful suit, I must say.
Beautiful
suit.
Memory of the wedding, isn't it?
Bought it right across the street. Big number. Indochino has suited up hundreds of thousands of men and are now the largest made-to-measure menswear brand in the world. Here's how it works. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com. I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O. Indochino.com. You pick your fabric. You choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more. You submit your measurements. You place your order and you wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. This week, listeners to this quality podcast can get any premium Indochino suit for just $379. That's good. That's really good. $379 at Indochino.com when entering Tony K at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, and the shipping is free. Indochino.com, the promo code is Tony K for any premium suit for just $379 in free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is one of the greatest songs ever written by Paul Simon. This is The Only Living Boy in New York, which Nigel said to me yesterday. Have you ever heard the song, the living Only in New York?
The Only Boy Living in New York.
Which turns out was actually sung by the Tremolos, I think.
This song, and when he says, Tom, get your plane ride on time, he's saying that to Art Garfunkel because they used to be known as Tom and Jerry. And Art Garfunkel, in the area of critical commentary, is going to Mexico to film Catch-22.
That's right.
Art Garfunkel had a brief career in big movies. He was in Carnal Knowledge, and he was in Catch-22. And this was Paul Simon saying, I'm being left behind, and I'm it. This is the rest of my life. This song, if you're old, like the great Jack Vardaman and Jeannie and I, you know this song. I'm stunned you never heard this song.
I'm stunned, too. I love Paul Simon. I love Simon and Garfunkel. I heard this. It was the song playing underneath Melissa McCarthy on the Saturday Night Live sketch when she
right?
was on the podium going through the streets of New York. I said, what's that song? It's lovely.
Fantastic song.
Maybe this came out when you were in witness protection.
It might have happened.
It might have happened.
But so, it's a beautiful song.
I want to just read a few things. The Window Panes, Paulie Coconuts, Paul Morgan has sent us a bunch of CDs, which is always great. So we're happy to have those, and we give them out to people. We have some wedding invitations. Elizabeth Ray Valinsky and James Thomas Went. Jimmy Went, as he calls himself. When is this wedding? This wedding is soon. It's back. April, the 1st of April.
Okay.
It's gone.
Well,
I'm a few weeks late sending you this invitation, but much like Saliza with a TV, I got distracted. Sad. I'll keep it brief. I want to thank you for all the years of laughter and entertainment. It says also in the connective tissue commentary, I was ecstatic to learn that Kenyon College has been named the official women's lacrosse team of the Tony Kornheiser Show. I'm a 2010 Kenyon alum, former member of the baseball team. If you wouldn't mind asking Coach Buzzy to say hi to Coach Matt Burdett for me, that would be great. Go Lords and ladies.
There you go.
That gear is the best gear.
Yes, great gear.
That's the best gear we've ever gotten. Heather and Chris, April 22nd. That's gone. Sorry. Sorry to Heather and Chris. They sent us. We have to respond to all of these things. You know, just
we're not
save
coming.
These for me. We're not coming.
Okay.
We sent it late because
it was
this
last
should open your mail.
Yeah. There's a commencement address, Watertown High School. This is Watertown, South Dakota. David Melanson will graduate on May 20th. That is this Saturday or this Sunday.
All right. Yep. So we'll change your plans. Okay. You won't go to Binghamton.
I'm not going to Binghamton. I wanted to say that. I got this great thing from Dan Navin from Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. He was here on March 23rd, and I chatted with him. Said, Mr. Tony, longtime listener visiting D.C. from Wisconsin with my son, blah, 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 blah. He sent me two Metro cards. They both have $10 on them, and we thought you could use them to experience the lives of 99 percenters. No, I'm not going to do that.
No,
I'm not going to take this.
Hazard.
But we can give these away.
Absolutely.
You know, to people. And everything is sort of recycled. Everything that comes through here is recycled. Shad invited us to April 15th. Why are we getting these things so late?
Is that his annual chili cook-off?
Yeah,
thing?
This is his chili cook-off, and it was April 15th.
Well, we hope it went well.
Maybe, or are you sure it's next year? Maybe it's next year, so you just want to get on your calendar.
No, I don't think so.
That'd be impossible. His leftovers.
Kirsten sent stuff, because Kirsten's doing a podcast now.
That's right,
with Jason Fuse. And she sent things.
Speaking of tangents.
Speaking of tangent podcast.
Yes.
SOT, S-O-T, which also means sound.
SOT is sound that
when you're doing a television show, you back away and the SAT comes in. So we have those things. We have all sorts of wonderful things.
What's the name of their podcast? Can we plug it?
Speaking of Tangents.
Speaking of Tangents.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
We are invited to Allison and Matt's wedding. This is Saturday, May 13th. So that just recently happened. We missed that. This is in Bluffs, in Sergeant Bluff, Iowa. Is there a town called Sergeant Bluff, Iowa?
I'll look that up.
Check that up.
Please join us May 12th at 4 o'clock for our ceremony. It will be held at Lewis and Clark Lake on the swim beach between the Wiegand and Burbank campgrounds in Crofton, Nebraska. We missed that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to campgrounds. I mean, honestly.
Sure.
Honestly. I'm not going to campgrounds.
Sergeant Bluff, just south of Sioux City.
In Iowa.
Yes.
So we're happy for all of these people who send us things. We are in the royal we. I'm speaking for everybody. I'm sorry that we missed them.
Honestly, what the f***
Allison McCullough and Clinton Dixon, Friday, July 7th, ooh, in Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario. So that's still still out there for us.
Another continent.
That's on the board.
Happy with that. So I wanted to tell this brief story. We have to get into the Nats, but I want to tell this brief story.
Tony sips his coffee and I paused as we broadcast from Chatter.
So yesterday, or last night, I was at Columbia because Michael and Liz are going to join, and I'm there, right? I can say that.
Yes, if we make it through the vote.
I think you're going to make it through the vote, unless what I say now hurts. And it's one of these things
where
you have to meet the board members, and the board members are there, and a lot of people gather. And the president of Columbia now is Johnny Williams. And he was a really great high school basketball player in town, and then he went to Siena and started at Siena.
Where did you go to high school, do you know?
I want to say Gonzaga. I think it's Gonzaga. Uh-huh. Okay. And he was really, right? Jack, the great Jack Vardman. Speaking into the microphone. You have a mic there?
He can share with Michael.
Yeah, Johnny was a great player there.
And, yeah. He was all city.
Yeah. He played with one of the great players who says he always supported him. I can't remember now which one, but Johnny gives a lot of credit to his teammates, but he was terrific.
And he played at Siena, and he's really good, and his wife is Colleen, and they are part of Team Mensa, okay. are not champion anymore, but close to champion trivia team. They actually want to come here and play trivia one night, which we should do on a Monday night. So I see John.
Nice title, close to champion.
He's the president of the club. He's really good, and he's trying to actively, I'd say this is fair to say, Michael, actively recruit a lot of younger people to get in there, who are legacy members, you know.
Tell me you told him you hope he can let this Michael joining thing go.
No, I didn't do that. Okay. I didn't treat him like
that. That would be a bad move.
But now he comes here a lot. He and Colleen they went to Chadwick's, they went to Chad's. Please take down this sign. They go to Chatter, and he says, you took away the chicken sandwich. Now I go through this all the time. I think I've told these stories 100 times. You walk through and somebody says, I love this thing.
Don't mention the mozzarella sticks.
Yeah,
it's all over Yelp.
This thing. And then you go back to the kitchen, you say to the chef, how many do we sell? And he goes, 3 a year. To that guy. Okay. So we had a menu that had like 85 items. It was an unwieldy menu. We've cut the menu down to about 35 items. And some things went. And John was upset because he said, I can't get my chicken sandwich. I said, which chicken sandwich is that? I wrote this down. So people don't think that I'm making this up. I present this to Gary. Wrote this down.
I'm not going to try to read your handwriting.
What
did you say?
Give it to Gene. I think I remember this sandwich.
Gene can read my writing.
Something, what's luck sandwich, Tuesday, cheese and bacon possible? Oh, that's what I read.
John Williams.
I remember that sandwich.
John Williams wants chicken sandwich Tuesday, cheese and bacon possible.
Right. So he wants the old chicken sandwich.
He writes like a nun. I know that handwriting.
I do. He comes here on Tuesdays a lot because the bartender, Soup Campbell, is a guy who played basketball, I believe, at Richmond, and they probably competed against each other. They probably knew each other in the old days, and he comes here a lot. So I said, I'll see what I can do. And he says, yeah, because it's off the menu. Well, I talked to Bob today, and he presents me with a lunch menu. And on the lunch menu, on the left-hand side of the lunch menu, under, appropriately enough, the
sandwiches?
Heading sandwiches.
See, grilled?
Sandwiches. It says grilled chicken sandwich, marinated boneless breast with bacon and provolone cheese.
Sounds about right.
A little now, barbecue sauce on that?
As I taught, I didn't say barbecue sauce. Taught my children when they were young, if you go into a restaurant, a good restaurant, you order something, they'll make it for you. You can't order Chinese food at a steak joint.
Was it on the show we talked about the secret menus of the fast food places?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the same deal.
So if it's on the menu for lunch, that means we have it.
Right.
And that means for John Williams and others, although I don't want to encourage a lot of people doing this,
I'm
but
just
for,
thinking
for
of the
John
chefs
Williams,
in the back now sharpening their knives.
To kill me.
To kill you.
But if it's on the sandwich menu for lunch, I think he can get it.
Yes.
I'm going to grant this one papal dispensation.
Peter's shaking his head.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to grant this one.
Peter's just shaking his head right now. Well,
is there chili on the menu? I know some people request it.
Wilbon's chili is on the menu. Wilbon's chili is on the menu. One of the burgers here is called Sam's Turkey Burger. And underneath Sam's, it says, Sam says it's the best. It says that on the menu.
Yeah.
I went to people at this restaurant. I said, who in God's name is Sam? And nobody knew.
Sam Bowie?
Nobody knew who he was. So I don't really think we have to continue with that line on the menu. But it's possible.
Right.
Michael, is there anything I've said that's terrible so far?
No, not at all.
Good, because we can edit this.
I see there's a bacon grilled cheese. That I'm in favor of that.
Get you one of those.
Yeah. I've heard that you're a fan of bacon.
Let's get to the Nats.
Okay.
I turned off yesterday. It's in the bottom of the seventh inning. Strasburg is still out there with a 6-2 lead. Strasburg gives up a double. Should have struck out the next batter. He gets a bad call on a strikeout pitch, and then the last pitch is clearly a ball. Okay, and then Strasburg's shaking his head now. At that point,
rattled.
If Strasburg is either shaking his head or looking at his elbow, that's it.
Get him out.
That's it. Get him out. Dusty Baker knows the sign. Right, Michael goes out, gets him out.
My issue with this is that you're looking at this the same way that you think he's fragile. We've wanted to see emotion from this guy for years, and we got it last night. They hosed him on the call, and he was responding. He needs to hold it together a little bit, but I'm okay with him getting riled up. That shows me that he wants to win. He wants to be pitching here. I like to see that from him.
But, Dusty went right out.
You know what else I'd want to see? When he walks out there, I'd like to see Strasburg go full Max Scherzer.
Oh, I
got him.
Yeah.
You go home.
I blank and got him.
Not say, thanks for getting me. I'm done.
He doesn't do that. A series of pitchers come in who can't get anybody out. Fat Matt was out there. Somebody else was out there, right? Who else was out there, Mike?
Ollie.
They couldn't get anybody out.
Ollie and Mike.
And then what I consider to be the death knell happens. They bring in Blake Treinen. They don't even is Joey, what's his name? Is he still on the
Lanton?
Team?
Lanton.
They don't even let him warm up. They bring in Blake Treinen, and wonder of wonders, Blake Treinen induces a ground ball double play and gets a strikeout.
That's what he does. That's filthy,
wonder
nasty
of wonders.
Stuff.
Now, it's still scary at the end because Kota Glover gives up two hits, right? Gives up two in the ninth.
Not that scary after Harper's home run.
Well, the Nats got Harper, some insurance. Yeah.
So Harper hit one out. But it always just continues to make me nervous. Your Gary has an interesting point.
Well, my contention is that it's fool's gold. Any bullpen success, any ability to hold on to a lead late, because they're just, you're not going to survive a fall baseball run as constituted in the bullpen. They need to realize they have a problem. They need to address it. They need to fix it. And if they enjoy success, like I think I said this when Michael Taylor bailed him out with that home run the other night,
yes,
and they avoided getting swept in that doubleheader. I thought
avoided the called third
strike. I thought getting swept in that doubleheader.
He was playing better.
Getting swept in that doubleheader on the heels of the gag.
Would have
the late
made
gag.
Them do something.
Yes.
And now they don't have
and
to.
And now they're rebounding and
no,
trying.
They know what their bullpen issues are, so my issue with your point would be, in a baseball season, you're allowed to have ebb and flow to see what roles people are going to assume. And over 162 games, you're allowed to settle into that role. We know that Blake Treinen has been a very efficient and successful setup guy. We now know he's not a closer. If last night's game gets him back to the shutdown seventh, maybe eighth inning guy, maybe it takes another 6 weeks to settle back into that role. I think we still know they're going to be making a move for a closer. They are still going to overpay for a closer because that's what they have to do. But yes, for the time being, putting Kota Glover out there so that he might turn into the in-house closer or he might become a shutdown eighth inning guy, that's what we want to see. And I don't think just because what we've seen for the last 2 weeks has been bleak, that means that it guarantees lack of success in September.
Well, that's a fair
bleak,
point.
You know, you only have to change two letters from bleak to Blake.
That's a fair point. But my counter would be when you say we know they're going to address the closer situation.
Oh, I think they will. I think they have in the past. They did with Papelbon. They did with Melanson.
They've done it the last 2 years.
Yeah, they've done it.
Okay.
You entered the season without one. So let's just make, however it has to happen, I want to make sure end the season with one.
To Blake Treinen. Whatever underpants you were wearing last night,
the undies,
hat you were wearing last
wear them again.
Night,
wear them again. So this is what it's come to for me. I shut the TV off and I went upstairs.
I'm boiling eggs.
I did. I just couldn't.
Sure.
And when I woke up this morning, my worst fears were in fact realized about the rest of that inning. You know, and then Treinen, you know, was good.
It's a pleasant surprise.
You watched it all, right?
My heart can't take it.
My bigger worry would be you have another season like a few years ago where you just coast through the division and you collect these wins that allow you to get a wild card team who's just going to be incredibly hot and just happens to have a starting pitcher who's going to go two or three games against you in a five-game series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not even getting to a closer.
With Bumgarner.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, San Francisco.
Knocked him out. All right. We will come back with what? Well, a jingle?
A jingle.
And some email?
That's right.
And again, it's a lot of people here. Very nice.
It's very quiet.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And the sign says
everybody welcome. Come in and dine at Chad's. And the bald orange man with a quarter on his share got incredibly mad. He said, this place is now called Chatter. As I mentioned 7 times per show, I'm an only child and I get what I want. Just ask the people at Pepco.
This is great.
Sign, signs, change a stupid sign. I'll pay you in truffles and bowling alley fries. You people are even worse the next day blinds.
Dylan Riss in Los Angeles.
That's great.
Capturing the mood at the moment. I come in here, I see this sign. I want this sign gone.
What makes it worse is that they're actually working on the patio right now, so they could be putting that attention to the sign.
Get rid of the Chad sign. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to ESPN's Brian Windhorst for coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank the sponsors, NatureBox, ZipRecruiter, and Indochino. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I went down to take pictures with a bunch of people. One guy down there is a rabbi. I felt really good about that.
Oh, how about that?
I told him we had some locks upstairs if he really wanted it. From Matt Hall in Traverse City, Michigan. Please let Ed Butt know that he can count on at least one person to show up next Wednesday for the Lachiserie gathering in Traverse City at the Franklin. Also, when I was adding this event to my phone, Google gave me Lachiserie in Corderay, France as an option. Is this the original? I had to find out more. I pulled the wine bar up on TripAdvisor. It's the second highest rated restaurant in the small town of 1,100 people located in the Pyrenees Mountains. For listeners that might be close, they're open today at 2 p.m. and they go to 10. From Michael Sullivan, thanks for the Audible code. It's been so great I haven't had time to listen to the pod. How's it going? How's the new Chatter sign looking? Any problem with ambient noise? Who's taking the best shot at Saliza up late? I'd say I'd hang up and listen, but I mean this Audible thing is really good. That's Sully from Boston. From Stephen Halter, Steve the Sycophant. Your story about Paul Newman and his Coors beer reminded me of the early to mid-1970s when I was in Kansas City, Missouri. Coors was still a regional beer sold as far west as Kansas. The Coors warehouse on the Kansas side of KC was besieged by drivers heading east who would turn off I-70 and head for the big Coors sign to stock up, only to be told the warehouse was wholesale only. The employees kept a supply of maps handy showing the route to the nearest retail store. When I would drive to my hometown of Lincoln, Nebraska, I'd always stop in Kansas to get a trunk full of Coors for resale to beer lovers in Lincoln. It worked the other way, too, as Olympia beer sold in Nebraska, but not in Kansas or Missouri, so I'd head back with that beer for the folks in KC. That's all past now, with the only brew pubs having a real local beer. Last time I was home, I found wineries, yes, wineries, in both Nebraska and Kansas. A best-selling item in Lincoln, as you would expect, is Go Big Red Wine, sold in a bottle. God help us all.
So it was tweeted to me yesterday by Aaron Fink at Lickety Split 9, the so-called plot of Smokey and the Bandit.
It was about
they were smuggling a truck load of Coors to the East Coast for a wedding.
Oh, okay. That was the bet. It was the bet. Can you do this in 40 hours or something like that?
From Andrew Overheiser in Flagstaff, Arizona. Dear Mr. Future Dr. Tony, I like the ambient noise. I can almost imagine I'm enjoying the show in person. More importantly, I listened to the Friday show in the car with the person to whom I'm related by marriage. About 35 minutes into it, she asked, when do they talk about sports? Exactly. On Fridays. We don't.
Sometimes.
Hampton Nager. Somewhere in the Sun Belt, there's a turf farm. Someone is regulating water and sunshine to promote the perfect bucolic richness of thick fescue. Sod will be cut into strips, watered profusely, and expediently shipped by truck to Washington, D.C. Several workmen will take an entire day to carefully install the belts of sod exactly where indicated, and the grass will be fertilized and watered once more to promote its success. Good work will be met by good money. Satisfaction for service is rendered. All this will be torn to ribbons by Chessie before Vanna White starts turning letters that night. And somehow it's owning a hermit crab that's stupid. Why don't I save you the trouble, Tony, and mail you some dead grass for $100? P.S. I never had a hermit crab, but I did have a gerbil named Zippy. It bit my mom and she threw it in the toilet.
Oh, Zippy.
Hermit crabs, they are the worst.
Well, it's a pet.
Bonnie was telling me yesterday that one of her kids had a hermit crab, and she walked into a room, and unbeknownst to her, she stepped on it and killed it, and that was the end of that.
He ran away.
Matt King in Nashville, Tennessee. It's so disappointing to hear that the croc walk story Nigel disseminated is fake news. Fortunately, all of us littles can take comfort in knowing that your weather department remains untainted. I'm not sure how I'd react if it somehow came to be that the TK weather winter weather forecast sponsored by Motel 6 was somehow discovered to be illegitimate. No, Sheehan works really hard on that. Brian Kearns, Honolulu, Hawaii. Maybe it's time for John Wall to start wearing number 8. Shot at Alexander Ovechkin. Mark Courier, Ellicott City, Maryland. I was watching the Wizards-Celtics game on TNT. At the end of the first half, the announcer said, "We'll be right back with first half analysis from the Diesel." It was like a David Aldridge moment for me. I told the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, "You have to come watch this. Not only can Chris Saliza break down politics on CNN and Mr. Tony's podcast, but he also has time to do the NBA analysis." Imagine my surprise when they came back from commercial and Shaquille O'Neal was on the studio set. Who knew that Shaq had copied Saliza's name of the Diesel? If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
May the Lord have mercy on me.
Nailed it.
And my piano.
Say